One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Y'all, and thanks again for joining us here on Expanded Perspectives with me, Cam Hale, and of course, I couldn't do it alone, mi amigo, Kyle Filio Filson's over here, masters of the, he's added sound clips, folks. I've left him alone. He's added crazy sound clips, and so they might get dropped from time to time in this whole deal. So, Philly, good job. I enjoy it.
Thank you, sir. I'm having a heck of a day. The weather's been beautiful, and I found out today I'm not the best stalker of turkey.
Look, stalking turkey isn't necessarily the thing you want to do when it comes to turkey hunting. It's usually better to set in a box blind or like a pop-up blind where you can shoot
out.
Yeah,
well, that was...
Or with a shotgun, if you notice, when everybody hunts turkey, they sit on the ground fully camo with the gun on their knee or braced up where they don't have to move it. They just wait for it to walk
right,
in front
right.
of them. They're not trying to sneak around in street clothes and a compound bow and sneak up on one.
That wasn't my exact intention. My parents live in the country, and they have lots of turkey out there. My mom's been calling me, man, you know, I've got a bunch of toms and a bunch of hens that they come up to my house all the time. And I'm like, really? Just right there behind your house? She's like, yeah. So about 2 weeks ago, I went to the feed store and I got some chicken scratch. She started putting out some chicken scratch to see if the turkey would come in there and eat it because she's loaded with deer too. But the deer don't really eat that.
No.
They prefer corn. But so she started putting out, and sure enough, these things have been coming in. And I asked my mom, I'm like, well, can you write down the time they're coming in so I can kind of pinpoint what time of day I need to come out, you know? And now,
because we don't know where they're roosting. So no, you can't call them right off the roost. Right. You don't know where they're coming from.
And this is all on private land. So I can't just go cross it over into other people's property, but I know that they're close because they don't travel real far.
Yeah,
and they're there every morning. Well, so now they're coming about three times a day. So fast forward about a week or so, I think I'm going to just sit near there and I'll be able to see them. But there's a problem with turkey; they have excellent eyesight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where deer rely more on their sense of smell, not at their eyesight. The turkey are almost the exact opposite. I don't think you can get winded by them. I mean, I'm sure you can, but not like their eyesight. Their eyesights are sharp, right? Just like an eagle or something.
Yeah.
So I need to put up a pop-up blind so I can hide in there and then shoot my bow from the pop-up blind. So I put it out there, and I was driving around work the other day, and I decided, well, I don't really like where it's at, so I think I'm going to move it. Well, today Jacob had baseball practice, and I was like, well, you know what? When I'm done with baseball, I will just swing by my mother's house, and I'll move that blind, and then I'll come home. So Jacob, it turns out, he doesn't want to go over my mother's. He's like, can you just run me home? I'd rather just play on the trampoline and stuff. So we don't live very far from my mother's. Dropped him off. I went back to my mom's. Tell my dad what I'm doing. I'm going to move that blind. He wants to come help me. No problem. We move it, and he's checking it out. He's inside of it.
Well, he's more wanting to just hang out. He's not like he's helping.
He likes to hang out.
He just wants to check it out.
He likes to bum dips of snuff off me or whatever. I don't mind. So we get done, and we're zipping it up. And just as I turn around, I see something black and it looks round and it's about 45 yards away from me. And I instantly know what it is. It's the turkey. So I'm frozen. I look at my dad and he's like, and I'm like, yeah.
We're busted.
So I remember instantly though, I was like, man, my bow is in my car and it's not that far away. So I leave my dad and I haul butt back to the car. Well, when I get over there, I get to the car and I'm like, yes, it's in here. I didn't remember if I had it in the back seat or not. It's in there.
But
I didn't have my release with me. And I shoot a back tension release and it's completely different if you're not used to shooting with those and you get dependent on them. I'm like, well, I can shoot with my fingers. I've done it before. I don't know if it's going to be near as accurate, but I'll give it a whirl. And I got my turkey call and I go sneaking back off in there and I'm like, where, and my dad, where is it at? And he kind of points where it went. So I start calling, you know, and I hear it gobble. So I'm like, oh yeah, he's ready.
And then it circles your house.
Oh yeah. So we're working around and I'm trying to bait this thing in and we're playing this little cat and mouse dance for about 35 minutes. Cause I already told Cam that after baseball, I would meet him at the studio and we would record. And I'm like, I'm in a heated battle. Certainly he'll understand. Hopefully I can call him and say, hey, guess what I did? But so I'm using cover. I'm using these trees in between me and the Tom. Every time he turns and kind of walks away, I make up some ground, right? And never break an eye contact with where he's at and then get myself in between him and another tree. Because I can't just walk out there. First of all, I'm in a golf shirt and slacks, like Under Armour slacks. You know, totally not prepared. Anyways, we play this dance for a while. Well, he gets back in. My parents' neighbor has this barn shop thing, and he's behind it now. So I'm like, now's my chance. I can sprint up to it. And when I peek around, I'll have a better chance. I can close a lot of ground because up until this point, there's like 50, 60 yards of open ground. There's no way I can do it. So I slowly ease my head around the corner. Sure enough, he's about 3 feet from me, all plumped out like you see on TV.
Strutting.
And right, he sees me of the barn. And takes off. And that's it. I'm like, if I could have been at full draw before I eased around the corner, I could have zapped him. But I didn't know he would be that close.
Was it one of those when you looked around the corner, you're like, oh, God.
It wasn't just him, me. It was him, too.
Both of y'all was like,
I think he might have went behind the shop and then tried to close ground on me. I don't know. But we both peeked and we were both right there.
Like, you almost could have grabbed him.
If I had something 8 feet long, I could have just stabbed him with that. I mean, it was right.
If you'd have had like a landing net, you could have just netted the turkey.
Oh, for sure. I wish I had one of those like paintball guns that shoots those nets out. You know what I'm talking about?
I would have paid to watch this.
Yeah, so that was my interesting afternoon. Been. That's where I've been. So I'm late to the studio today. But, you know, I'm here now. What's your day been like?
I have just worked, but I've been working on putting up a privacy fence around my backyard.
Oh, yeah, so. You were telling me about that. Been How's that going?
Good. I get my post set. I've got all that done. I've got to run the stringers, and then I'll start laying pickets to it. So, yeah, just messing around with that. It's fun. But I think where I've got it now, because I have a range, an archery range set up in my backyard of 25 yards, and I think when I get it built, because I moved it out a little bit, I think I will be able to fit 30 yards in my backyard.
That'll be cool.
Yeah, I think that'll be pretty good. So that'll give me some other, I can get out there. And I've already got my son coming over to wire in some electricity by my lights or by my targets so I can build a box to hold where I can have the light shining on them, where I can get out there in the dark and turn all the lights on. Then I can sit outside and shoot when it cools off.
Man. Yeah, that's
I'm getting fancy.
You're getting fancy?
I'm getting fancy.
Well, let's get into the news, folks. Yeah. Everybody likes the news. I saw a recent article over on Phantoms and Monsters that Lon had posted about this person believes that they saw, Cam, get this, a gargoyle perched on their neighbor's roof. This took place in Joliet, Illinois. The person writes in and says, I believe I may have seen a gargoyle about 10 years ago in far west Joliet. It was about 2 a.m. and it was the end of March or the beginning of April. I don't remember. Exactly. Well, I was watching TV with the window open slightly, and I kept hearing a muffled cry, almost like a woman crying in the distance. I finally decided to take a look and see what it was. So I was looking all over the backyard and the neighboring yards, but I didn't see anything. Well, I was just about to give up when I heard it again. That's when I noticed it was coming from above me. I looked up and noticed something about 4 feet tall standing on the peak of the house behind me. Well, I grabbed my phone to take a picture. But when I did, I was about to take the picture. It turned its head and looked at me. This scared the crap out of me. Then it dropped like the thing fell. And right before it hit the ground, its wings came out and it swooped away. I couldn't believe how big the wingspan was. DG. Now, Lon says he talked to DG by telephone, and he believes that this was early in the spring of 2010 near County Road and Black Road, which lies in West Joliet, Illinois. Now, DG, he says, stated that he heard what sounded like a woman crying at around 2 a.m., and after he looked out the window, he noticed what looked about to be about a 4 to 4.5 foot dark-colored entity perched on his neighbor's roof. He said he couldn't see the eyes, but he knew that this thing was looking at him, and he was terribly frightened and found it difficult to sleep for many nights. In fact, he said when he went to take the picture of the thing, he was in such shock that he accidentally dropped his phone. He said that this thing, before it leapt off the roof, stood up, and its wings were huge. He said he estimates them to be about 10 to 12 feet in length, and he said the wings unfurled. And here's an interesting fact, Cam. He said he didn't see the thing ever flap its wings. It just flew. Now, that's a common thing that's reported in a lot of these cryptid sightings. Now, Joliet, Illinois is approximately 45 miles southwest of Chicago. And remember, we're just coming to an end of the giant flap of these flying humanoid creatures in and around the city of Chicago. So, once again, I think it's odd that, not that a giant gargoyle isn't odd, but that you never see the thing flapping its wings. People often hear it. Mm-hmm. But they don't see it moving its wings, which I find bizarre. But what could he have seen?
I couldn't help but thinking about it. That's the same prison that the Blues Brothers was from, the original Blues Brothers.
You is it really?
When they go pick him up, Jake and Elwood, when Elwood goes to pick Jake up.
I remember the movie. I don't remember the name of the jail.
That's it. Yeah, because I think it was, was it Joliet Prison? I don't even know if it's open anymore, but I know that that was where he was at. That's, so when you said it, instantly, I was like, that's the prison that the Blues Brothers were in.
Yeah, but you know, 4 foot to 4.5 foot. Could there be like a giant owl, like a huge barn owl, and somebody might have mistaken it? I mean, look, once again, this is something that comes up on the show all the time. He thinks it was 4 feet, but was it really 2.5? Was it really 3?
I don't, yeah.
Because I think a barn owl could get 2.5 feet tall.
Well, I noticed today, now that you bring this up, is, of course, it was kind of windy a little bit here today. And I was coming back from our lake, and there was a buzzard in the air flying along beside my car. But, I mean, he was up ahead of me, right? And he was riding, like, I didn't see him flap his wings for probably 20, 30 seconds, like driving, and he's ahead of me. And I'm just watching him soar and sail, and I never saw him. He's just guiding. So I'm watching all that. And I always think about that. Like when you talked about it, it's like, well, playing devil's advocate, what if it was just a big owl and it was a little breezy? I mean, it would be easy. Of course, I mean, it's not super windy usually in the evenings, but still, I mean, it would be a thing to where they would come out there. But also too, when a bird jumps off of something, they usually jump and flap and fly away. They don't jump and just free fall and then open their wings up all dramatic. Right. Like that's only done in the movies.
Yeah.
So when you, if you see something free falling 40, 50 feet and then open its wings up and catch it right before it hits the ground, a bird doesn't do that.
No, no.
Because I'll give you a reason why. You don't haul ass in your car and then the minute you get to the stop sign, lock them up.
Although I do see people do that.
They do get, but you know what I mean? Yeah. It's like they're not sliding up to each stop sign, stop and go. It's the same thing for a bird. It's like you're not just going to free fall and then open your wings. There's no reason for it. I mean, unless you're trying to give like the dramatic superhero landing, you know, something. But
right.
So it always makes me wonder, like you're talking about, what could it have been? And we always speculate on this. It's like, yeah, could it have been a bird? Yeah, could have been a bird. Could have been an owl. He could have easily mistaken. Maybe it was. Maybe it didn't free fall as far as he perceived it in the dark.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff to it, but it is. It's one of those things like you brought up. We're not that far from Chicago. Multiple people. I mean, look at all the reports.
It's a huge flap. For 2 years, people have been seeing stuff in and around there. And although this was 10 years ago, maybe it's all the same thing.
And it could have been one of those deals. It seems like there are hot spots around the U.S. for strange sightings of certain things. Like, you know, you can almost pick certain areas like
the Lycan Loop you were mentioning.
That's right. You know what we should do somebody out there should do if you want to really have something fun to research. Pick you a cryptid, whether it's Bigfoot or gargoyles or where it is, and start looking at the clusters. Because you remember how Pilatus did it with his missing 411 with clusters?
Yeah, he's got the map. Mm-hmm.
Look at cryptid clusters, because I don't mean like one or two. There's going to be areas where there's more in certain areas than others. And you could, you know, you'd be able to say like, well, this area, this state's a hot spot for Dogman. Like, we've seen them all over, but this area has the most. This area has the most for Mothman sightings, or this, you know, gargoyle sightings. And this, I think, and you could bounce around and find that.
I think for Dogmen or werewolves and stuff, I think like the Wisconsin area or Pennsylvania seems to like have it. The most.
And it seems like Ohio always has crazy
Ohio,
stuff in it.
Yeah, right? That's like a hotbed for everything.
Everything weird. Yeah. And well, now you can also chalk up Utah for something strange, folks. If you're looking for a little fun, and while you're listening to this, you're on your mobile device or you're sitting at your desk, go on YouTube and punch up Lone, like Lone Ranger, Lone Peak Bigfoot video.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you, listen to this. This comes from our friends at Cryptozoology News. It took place in Utah. Says a fella believes that he captured a Bigfoot creature on video. His name is Tanner Hargis, and he shared this video with, it says, RMSO. Now, look, I don't know what that means, but it's got to be some sort of research thing that's going on there. But he said he was in his backyard with a spotting scope in Lone Peak, Utah on March 23rd when he had came across this humanoid figure at 10:30 in the morning. This is what he says. I don't think any human would be hiking there right now. It's just too high. I think it's something that needs to be checked into. Now, Hargis goes on to say that the biped appeared to be about 8 feet tall and was walking uphill quite fast. And its arms, it says here that he adds, were down to its knees. Now, if you go and look at this video, it's very snowy, of course. I mean, there's a lot of snow.
Yep.
And this thing is walking, and you could see it walking, and it kind of disappears in the foggy regions of these mountains. But are you watching the video?
Yep.
It looks pretty interesting, right?
It does, yeah.
But now look, it's still not crystal clear. I'm assuming he's using his phone and like a phone scope, you know, stuck on it or something like that. It's not giving you 4K image quality of something. But this is going to be a way that somebody's going to catch some footage of a Bigfoot. Is like you and I were talking about when we go on our hunt, you want to take a spotting scope and an adapter to carry it where you can hook a nice camera to it so you can get some good long-range footage through your spotting scope. But that's still interesting. Okay, asking you this.
Yeah.
Would you think it's a man in a coat?
Yes, I would.
Was that what you would assume it would be?
I mean, it looks
just because
it's humanoid-shaped.
Because he's not, yeah.
I don't know enough context of where this is shot. Like, is on the other side of that hill a ski resort?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Are there cross-country ski trails just around there? I mean, I don't, you know, without knowing the area, I don't know. But it definitely is a humanoid-shaped something.
Exactly. My problem is this, when I watch this whole video, is when you listen to me tell you about it, it sounds really awesome. This is going to be great. When you watch it, the figure in the video is about the size of a grain of rice at its largest, cropped, zoomed in, still it's only the size of a grain of rice. So you can tell it is bipedal. You can tell it's something walking upright, but it could very easily be a hiker, be a hunter, be anybody out there doing it. I mean, just anything. Like it.
I'm with you. It's not doing anything that would lead you not to be a person. It's like you've mentioned recently. Like I don't see it throw a pig.
Yeah.
100 yards. I don't see it rip a tree out of the ground. I don't see it do anything other than looks like it's walking.
And my question is, what is used for reference in the video for it to be 8 foot tall?
Right. If you watch the whole film, you can see how far he's zoomed in.
Yeah.
It's impossible to judge.
And its arms are down to its knees. How do you know?
They put the tape on the doors of every convenience store so people can judge the height of somebody. And that's judging the height from 8 feet.
Yeah. Exactly.
Judging the height of a person at 900 yards with nothing in relation to it, I'm with you. I mean, it's a solid white background. It could be four foot, five foot, four foot, six foot, eight foot, ten foot.
I don't know. There's nothing there.
And I'm not hating. I'm not trying to say that that's not what it is. Yeah. Very well could be. But
and if you notice, the Tanner fellow that shared it, he doesn't say, yeah, this is what it is. He just says, I just don't think anybody would be hiking there right now.
Yeah.
And he says, I think it needs to be looked into. And he said, hey, look, it could be a Bigfoot. But, you know, he's not saying this is Bigfoot. He's just saying, hey, look, something's not, it just caught him off guard. And also, too, in the same breath, we're not there. We don't know. This guy knows his backyard. He knows what's there. He knows, for all we know, it may be completely wide open and rugged country. And he knows he's never seen anybody back there. And wherever this guy's at or this Bigfoot's at, maybe one of those things like you can't just normally get there. You know, like it takes work.
Yeah.
And there might be no reason to get there. It'd be like we always talk about out in West Texas. If you see something way out in the middle of a sandy patch in West Texas, you know, I'm like, there's nothing around here.
Yeah, what's like that person doing?
Yeah, you're a long ways away from anything if you're a human. So maybe that's what it is. But I'm just, it's one of those things.
One of those bizarre sightings, yeah.
When you make these kind of claims, he's not making them, but of course the whole thing, if you make claims like that, you better have some serious evidence to back it up.
I agree.
You know, and when you start putting video out there, this is the problem. We still get blurry blub squatch or whatnot. Yeah. I mean, that's what we have.
That's all we
have.
And
maybe he is naturally blurry. But anyway, the whole video is like 20 some odd minutes long, but if you watch the very beginning of it, they'll do all the work, crop it in, show you the whole thing, let you see what he was filming, the whole deal. Cause I mean, he's filming mountains. He's just filming through his spot and scope. For what reason? Maybe he's looking for something cool. I don't know. But anyway, it does say though that the RMSO said they were able to investigate the sighting 3 hours after it initially, the report came in. So when he called and let them know, they went out there within 3 hours, but they came back empty handed.
Well, that's another thing. There's nothing to back up the story. Like if they had went out there and they found some large footprints in the snow, yes, if they'd found some hair, yeah. I mean, to back it up, but with nothing, I mean, you just have to dismiss it. I've seen stuff before. I'm like, what the heck is that person doing?
Yeah.
And then I still don't know. I drove off. The rest of my life, I never knew.
Never knew.
Just people like, do weird stuff.
People are very weird. Hey, look, man, it's still one of those deals. I hope we eventually get some cool footage.
Me too.
But I just don't know. Like I said, on this one right here, I'm going to have to just say I just don't know.
Yeah. Well, speaking of seeing things that are strange, let's take a break. And when we get back from the break, I'm going to be talking more about these sightings of these black stick men.
Yes.
Stick with us. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives.
Luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
And we're back with Expanded Perspectives. Hope everybody enjoyed or took the time to go over there and look at that video of this possible Sasquatch up in the mountains of Utah. I'm going to be talking today about something we've talked about before more than one time, but I believe it's been a while since we've talked about it, and there's actually been some new cases of the thing. But starting back in around 2008, I believe, it's about the first time I had ever seen any mentionings of this on the internet. Back in those days, didn't listen to podcasts. I mostly looked at blogs, so I followed a lot of paranormal blogs, things
like
that.
That's not all he was looking at. That's not all I was looking at.
Let's not talk about that right now. You know, some of the bizarre things are like we talk about the shadow people and the hat man and things. But one of the more bizarre things that popped up around 2008, around similar time to the Slender Man stuff, was these sightings of this so-called black stick men. Now, if you haven't listened to the previous show where we talked about it, let me cue you in on some of this stuff. The Black Stick Men are these humanoid beings that resemble stick figure drawings, just like you see when little kids draw, you ever play the game Hangman or something, little stick figures. Well, there's sightings all over the world of people actually seeing them moving. They have encounters with them in the city street. They have encounters with them in their bedroom. And even odder, lots of times these things are two-dimensional. I mean, they look and appear flat. They lack.
That's my favorite thing about them.
It's really bizarre. They lack any facial features, whether it be eyes or a nose or a mouth. And despite the name, they appear to be genderless. And so they're calling them the Black Stick Men, but let's not get our panties in a wad. They could be a woman, too. They appear to be genderless. The Black Stick Men are said to vary in height, with some ranging of a normal human, 6 to 7 feet tall. There's even been sightings of them all the way up to like 9 feet tall. Also, what is especially peculiar about these creatures is how they appear to be entirely two-dimensional. To me, that is the most bizarre thing. They allegedly possess no shadow. So if you see them like walking under a street lamp, they don't cast a shadow of any kind. Some reports even report them being charged electrically with static electricity. They smell the smell of ozone in the air or the smell of sulfur sometimes when one of these sightings happens. The hair on your neck or your arms kind of stands up. The area seems to be charged electrically when these things are seen, which suggests that maybe they're coming from some kind of parallel dimension through some wormhole or portal.
Maybe they're dragging their feet on carpet wearing wool socks or something.
Yeah, maybe. No one knows why they appear. Their sightings are not related to any other particular paranormal event. And there's many theories about where these things have come from. One is that because of their two-dimensional physique, that they're most likely from another dimension. And another theory states that they are demonic in nature and are similar to these sightings of shadow people. Others state that these Black Stick Men are merely manifestations of a person's psyche, kind of like a tulpa or a doppelganger or even a malevolent entity known as the Fetch. I don't know if you've ever heard of that, but we'll save that for another show. Anyways, I'm going to get into some of these sightings.
Bring it on.
These have been taken from multiple sources. This one apparently took place in 1982. And this person says, when I was a student nurse at Worley Hospital, which lies in Brentwood in Essex, England, I encountered what I thought looked like a stick person in the grounds of the hospital as I was walking home one night. It loped across the roadway, having been seemingly pressed up against a wall. It stopped when it saw me, and it raised its arms in fright and quickly walked off into the undergrowth. It was very tall and very thin. It had extremely long arms and legs and a very small, oval-looking head. It was totally black. No obvious clothing, though. I saw no face, even though it emerged very near a street lamp that was very well illuminated. I was terrified. And to this day, I don't know what it was. And when I tell my friends, I don't think any of them believe me. So that's odd, right?
A loping black two-dimensional stick man.
Yes. That apparently looked like it was on the like wall, like graffiti or something, but then like kind of, what was the movie? Sherlock Holmes, young Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah, we always talk about it. The glass guy.
Yeah, it's kind of like that, where like it was on the wall like a piece of graffiti, and I guess like peeled itself off, started crossing the road, noticed the nurse, got scared, and ran into some underbrush.
What?
I mean, to me, I would think like, dude, this must be like a bad mushroom, like relapse from when I was younger or something. Right. Like I, there's no way I physically saw that.
You'd want to check what you've been drinking. Wouldn't
you check mentally though? You'd be like, man, I'm slipping.
Well, I think there's a lot of sightings that happen like that, that people don't report because just like what you pointed out, you said, I've seen some people do strange things and then I just don't think anything of it when it might not have been a person.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that would be one of those deals. Like I would probably call and tell you what just happened. But I wouldn't bring it up on the show. If I saw something black like that, some graffiti peel itself off, the first thing I would think was somebody dosed me with LSD. And we're not going to discuss how I know what that would be like. But I would just say that's the first thing I would be like, I got to check my water. Somebody slipped a little something in
there. That's what I'm saying. I would think it was like a flashback or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, people see bizarre things all the time. I remember I spoke with a realtor one time. I was looking at a vacant, empty house, and I got done, and she called me a couple days later and was like, "Did you see anything odd when you were there?" And I was like, "No." I was thinking, like, are they talking about, you know, water damage or black mold or something?
Somebody trying to paint over something.
And she was like, "No, was there an old woman there? Did she ever come in to check on you?" And I was like, "No." And I was like, "I didn't see nothing." She's like, "Oh, okay." The reason I ask is a couple people have been in there and seen her, whether it be the inspector or things like that. And just so you know, that old woman's been dead for like 30 years, but people still see her in there. You're I'm like, good God, I wish you would have told me that before I would have went in there. Cause I'd have been like, Don Knotts, like the old, what was that?
Or it's the ghost of Mr. Chicken.
Yeah, that's been me. Right. Let's get back to these sightings. A lot of these sightings of the stick men, kind of like with a lot of other paranormal things, is only young children see them. Some people report that they used to see it when they were a kid, and then as they grew up through adolescence and became an adult, they no longer saw them anymore. Like the phenomenon had ended. And like we've talked so many times before on this show, for whatever reason, children seem to be way more open to these types of experiences, and it's odd. But anyways, one witness says that he had a visitation from a stick man when he was just a very young boy. He says that one evening he woke up to a heavy feeling of dread. Got out of his bed to go sleep with his parents down the hall, but he wasn't alone. He said, when I got out of bed and opened the door, about 5 feet away from me, in the hallway was a tall, black, slender figure that was very thin, all black, no facial features, a circled head, and the arms and legs were impossibly thin, and the fingers, they looked sharp. It made no sound and was gliding as it walked. The way it walked was the most scary part for me. Now, I only saw it for about 2 seconds and then slammed the door and I started wailing and crying. Minutes passed until my mom shows up at my door, wanting to know what's going on because she heard the door slam, and she calmed me down. I don't remember mentioning it to her, so she just thought that I probably had a bad dream. She then got a roll of blankets and put them on the hallway floor and allowed me and her to sleep together. For some reason, my mom likes to sleep on the floor because she grew up that way. Anyways, my feet ended up being scratched very badly. It couldn't have been from my mom's toenails, and I remember it left a burning sensation. I'm 18 years old now, and it's one of the few earliest memories I have. I still live in the same house. This house is in Connecticut. So as the person wakes up in the middle of the night, young person. Mm-hmm. Now, again, possibly it was just a nightmare.
Yeah.
I mean, you could have odd. I remember having very vivid dreams as a child. And I had a terrible dream that my dad had an axe like on The Shining, was trying to come in my room to kill me.
I had a terrible dream in your room one time when I was a kid sleeping in a sleeping bag when there was a gerbil trying to get in there with me.
Yeah.
In fact, he got in the sleeping bag with me. Turned out it wasn't a dream.
No, that was no dream. That was quite scary.
Oh, there we go.
Check this one out. This following account is a slightly shortened version from a person's diary, but otherwise it's unchanged. And the name of the person who owned this diary's name is Simon. He says this event took place on a Tuesday, the 31st of October in 1978. The person notes that all of the witnesses were between the age of 15 and 17 at the time. The Luce Valley, referred to, is near Maidstone in Kent, which is also in England. He says, I will record a rather unpleasant experience that took place tonight. A group of about 10 of us were sitting chatting in the Luce Valley at around midnight. After about 45 minutes, my friend Will leapt to his feet, slapping his head, saying there was a bee in his hair. He looked absolutely terrified. Now, both Dorothy and I saw the outline of a tall, thin figure wearing a hat dancing behind him. Will said later, it was as if a terrifically loud buzzing was coming up through the top of his head. However, only Rachel heard any buzzing. We partially satisfied ourselves that it must have been a bee's nest, and so we moved a little distance away. As we moved away, Dorothy and I saw a ring outlined in the grass, which enclosed where we had been sitting. Eventually, it started raining, so we headed for Rachel's house. As we left, I turned around and saw the same thin black figure walking across the opening between the tree to where we had been sitting. We had been sitting in Rachel's bedroom for a while at this point when I looked at Will, who was reading, and saw an amorphous black blob drop out of his hair onto the bed. I was the only one who saw this. A few seconds later, a black shape started whizzing around. The main movement was from bottom left to top right as I was sitting, getting larger during the movement and inducing a great fright. About four people all together saw this. Later, the girls slept in a room together. Apparently, Rachel and Molly saw the black blob in the curtains moving around during the night. I, however, had an excellent night's sleep. On first awakening, I saw the thin black figure silhouetted against the wardrobe doors. I must admit, I lost my calm last night and was bloody terrified by the whole thing. I've now moved away from the southeast, but I occasionally meet with Will. Even 20 years later, he has been extremely unwilling to discuss the events of that night, give any details, as he has still found the memory disturbing. Now, during our last meeting, I gained a little more of his account. He was not aware of the thin figure which I saw behind him during the buzzing. Unprompted by me, he did recall the black blob falling out of his hair, which I thought I alone witnessed. However, he recalls it dropping onto the pages of the book he was reading rather than onto the bed, as I had recalled. Will also recalls more of the girl's account of the night after retiring. Apparently, the blob had several times appeared near the curtains and even moved them while silhouetted against a bright light which appeared to come from outside but did not correspond to any street lamp or likely car lights. This has been the only supernatural experience of my life. So what the heck is going on here?
I can't even imagine seeing something drip out of somebody's hair like that.
Four witnesses saw it. And then this thing's moving around in the curtains and like a thin, impossibly thin black stick figure with a hat on. Sounds like almost like the Hat Man was doing a little jig behind this guy and the guy heard a bunch of buzzing.
Yeah, I mean, dude, I'm out.
I have no way.
Explain. Let's just play along. What could it be?
I don't know.
It almost sounds demonic. Every time you get into that kind of stuff, it almost sounds like there was something there that the experiencer never knew it attached itself, and it's the people around them that actually can see it, you know.
I'm with you.
And you know, it's one of those things like I don't know what it is. Certain serial killers, like you watch those documentaries or you see them, it almost look, and it sounds corny, but it does almost look like they physically, there's something wrong, like on the outside. Like, you know, there's something wrong mentally on the inside, but it's almost like on the outside, like you can almost see it. Like, what do they always tell you? Oh, he was a real quiet guy, kept to himself. And then you see them in court and you're like, you can just tell that dude's evil. And I don't, well, of course, without ever hearing him talk, when you just look, Richard Ramirez is the one that always comes to mind.
Yeah.
But I mean, even if you look at Ted Bundy has this evil look to him.
He also was a good looking guy. I mean, apparently was real good with the ladies. I mean, that's what helped him able to lure them in. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, if you're a typical serial killer, looks really creepy.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying is, but even then you can still tell that there's a little evil on him. Like something, I don't know what it is. So it's one of those, when you hear about these things being involved, it almost feels like there's an evil to it. That it's not, they're not just like the little people of the woods that are mischievous, but they're just out there chilling. Like, you don't see a lot of these things. But here's what's odd. There's not a lot of bad stuff follow them.
Yeah.
You see people kind of get creeped out about, it's almost like they're the watchers. Imagine if it was a fully, let's say it's alive, like it is a fully sentient being, right?
Uh-huh.
And it's just like one of us, but it looks like graffiti on a wall. Or if you could make yourself, if you were paper thin and black that. Yeah. I'm paper thin if you're talking about a stack of paper.
Like a ream.
A ream, like several reams of paper. I'm paper thin. A roll, if you will, of paper. Let's say the government created that. Right. Let's say the government created something along those lines. How easy would it be for it to at night to just stick to a wall, lay down on the ground, lay up against a tree, it just looks like nothing. It's just paper-thin darkness. Be in the crease by a door, be behind a door. You would never know.
Yeah, but and also I'd like to point out, all these are teens, right? 15 to 17 years yep. old. You hear a lot of paranormal events witnessed by teenage girls for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Is it because they're vulnerable and these demonic spirits are trying to pick on them? They're preying on them?
Yeah.
You never know. Speaking of a young lady, here's another story. This report comes from a witness called Amalthea. Now, she says that this happened to her and she was growing up in California between 1997 and 2004. And that her strange encounter would happen as she was hanging out with her best friend, Jenny.
Uh-oh.
Now, the witness says she had kept to herself out of fear of being ridiculed until she realized that others had seen the same thing. Now, she says, when I was growing up, I had a best friend, Jenny, who lived down the street. We lived in a quiet, small town.
Wait. Jenny down the block?
That's yeah, who it was? That's right. That's 100% right. We lived in a quiet, small town where her dad was always working. I would walk to her house every day after school, and we would often take walks, just, you know, walking around. We'd walk to the liquor store to buy some candy, etc., and I would often see a stick man following us. Sometimes he would be peeking out from behind her couch, etc. He was all black and changed sizes, sometimes the size of a small cat, other times taller than a normal-sized man. I felt very scared of him, and I felt he was mischievous at best, perhaps even evil. I finally got the courage up to tell my best friend, and she admitted to seeing him too. I always got the feeling he was the same one every time, not different stick men. One time he appeared in the shape of a stick figure horse, like a bad child's drawing. I always believed him to be somehow following me and watching me. Until when my best friend passed away suddenly in our senior year in high school. She had a genetic heart condition that nobody, including herself, had known about. I've never seen what we called Stick Man ever since. I believe now perhaps he was some form of Grim Reaper awaiting his time to take my friend. I don't know if that's really the case, but it seems odd that the sightings of him disappeared after she passed. I never saw who we dubbed the Stick Man again. I'm researching him now, and I'm in my late 20s because I recently confided in my husband about these wild experiences. So that's pretty cool. The girl was experiencing this and didn't want to bring it up to her friend, but every time they were together, she would see this two-dimensional Stick Man. Finally, she got the courage up to ask her friend, and her friend's like, yeah, I've seen him too. I didn't want to say anything to you.
And then her friend passes away.
Her friend passes away of an unknown heart disorder and never saw him again. So her theory is that maybe it is a harbinger of death, like the Grim Reaper.
Maybe, yeah.
Maybe. You know, these ideas of the Grim Reaper and stuff, they've come from somewhere.
Yeah.
Maybe an interpretation of the Stick Man 500 years ago.
The Hat Man of something, yeah.
Was a Grim Reaper. You know, he's got the scythe in his hand because he's reaping the wheat or whatever.
The sickle.
Maybe the Grim Reaper takes the form of anything that's terrifying.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I wonder if there are other... I need to look into that. I would like to know if there were other Grim Reaper, I guess, looks or designs from other cultures.
Yeah, that's...
You know, like what... Because, I mean, we already know that there are, like, certain death angels and harbingers of death in other cultures. But I wonder if there's... If the Grim Reaper is the only one, like... Because that's what we know as it.
Right. And, yeah, I often wonder about that.
That's strange. I need to look into that and see.
I need to look and try to find some more sightings of the Black Stick Man. There's a few other ones that you can find on various posts, but most of the time they're the same ones over and over again.
Well, like you said, it's not a big...
It's an odd thing.
Yeah, it's not something that happens. It's like what you see like with Bigfoot or like these flying humanoids and that stuff, these black paper-thin stick men.
Well, and when it comes to cases like the Stick Man, either it's real and people are experiencing this or it's an internet manifestation kind of like the Slender Man. I don't know because that's the thing with urban legend, right? Maybe a small part of it's true and not the whole thing. I mean, and it grows over time, but this is just a small niche.
It still makes me wonder like if we could, I ought to play the sound clip, but we could if we could manifest something like this. What makes me laugh is Joe Rogan just had Kevin Hart on his podcast over the weekend. Right?
Oh,
the
comedian. Really?
Yeah,
he's huge.
And they were talking about their mutual friend, the late, great Patrice O'Neill.
Uh-huh, I remember
and
him.
And Patrice is hilarious. You know, that dude was awesome. And they are, Joe tells a story about him asking Open Anthony. He's asking Anthony Cumia about carrying a handgun because Anthony has concealed carry. And Joe tells the story that he was asking Anthony about carrying this gun. And he said, do you ever think that maybe you attract negativity because you've got this energy out there? Like, could you manifest that?
Yeah.
And he says, without missing a beat, Patrice goes, Joe believe in magic. Just like that.
No, but,
and starts busting on him. And it's funny the way he tells it. But it always do wonder because, like, we always bring up karma. But it's funny how the nicer you are, the nicer the universe treats you. The harder you work at being good to the people around you, your area around you gets better.
I definitely believe that.
So if you can manifest that in a way, couldn't you manifest the negativity as well?
I think definitely that carrying a handgun could cause certain people to become even more agitated, right?
I'll believe in magic.
Like I've seen road rage incidents on the road where I've seen guys swerve at each other. I've seen windows roll down, guys waving guns,
brandishing their handgun. Yeah.
And I don't think that they would behave that way if neither one of them was packing. I also believe that, and this is going to sound strange for anyone who's never fired a firearm, there's a certain amount of fun of shooting a firearm. I don't care if you're shooting at paper. I'm saying there's a thrill, a definite adrenaline rush, right?
Yeah.
So if you're shooting, that can almost become a sense of like a high, like a drug.
It can, yeah.
And I think that a lot of these gangbangers, that's a lot of what it is. They get a thrill when they do a shooting, as sick as it is to say, which leads to another shooting, which leads to them doing it more. Like, these guys jacked my homies, now we're going.
Well, and you also feel empowered.
That's what I'm saying. On the streets, or you come from a bad part of town, you're a nobody.
Mm-hmm.
When you got that gun in your hand, well, now people have to.
They better respect.
They got to respect. You speak my name, put respect on it.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
And that's the problem. And, you know, they always talk about, like, how do we get rid of this problem? Well, we got to get rid of the guns. I don't think that's going to fix it. Getting rid of the guns isn't the problem.
So the manifestation of that, could you say you take that energy and you put it towards something like a flying humanoid or like a stick man or like a black-eyed kid or could you manifest that? Because it always goes back into my mind of, like, we all, and we've even said it before and had researchers say it, is when you start looking into it, it starts looking back.
What's that movie, The Secret? If you just sit there, Cam, if you dream about a Ferrari long enough, you'll get a Ferrari. That's what that documentary says,
yeah,
right?
Pretty much, yeah.
But it's right. And you're right, though. Positive thoughts, negative thoughts. I believe that it could manifest things in your life.
It's one of those deals that I don't know. I feel like the more people look into the darkness, they say it feels like the darkness is looking back. Is it looking back, or are you manifesting that darkness to notice you?
You don't know how many times I've been up late researching some pretty dark stuff, and dude, it starts freaking out.
Just turn it off. I don't do it anymore.
Yeah, man.
I don't do it anymore. When we first started this show, and even before it, I would get in some pretty deep, dark, like what you're talking, I mean, we really get into some more, like we would get into more of the more evil demonic stuff, start looking into it because it makes people uneasy and it makes you uneasy when you cover it.
Yeah.
And you kind of get that thrill. You're like, ooh. And then there's comes a point you're like, well, like I used to listen to all those true crime podcasts and all those, you know, murdered podcasts and all that. I haven't listened to them in months. I'm like, I caught myself going, I don't need to put that in my ears.
Yeah.
I like to, like these we've done a few serial killer podcasts and we've done some wild stuff, but for the most part, we do fun, interesting stories.
Yeah, fun.
Like we're telling now, and make some fun out of it and hold it. I don't believe that you need to plug that negativity into your ears, and they don't mean it that way. They're sharing that information, but it just kind of, for me anyway, speaking just for me, I just have to be real careful. I have to be where I don't immerse myself in it. I need to take small baby steps in it if I do it anymore. Because I got bad to where, I mean, I was just to it.
It depends on the topic.
Deep.
I mean, like, I can read a good abduction story at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and it's totally fine. I read that same abduction story at 1 a.m. right before bedtime. Totally different effect on me.
Things don't work out so
you start
good.
Hearing things. You start seeing strange lights. You're like, what?
Yeah.
No, sir.
Yeah.
No. All right. Anyways, that's pretty cool. You said you had some strange stories that you alluded to in a previous show.
Well, I did.
Okay.
And I had forgot while I had this. I've got it pulled up in front of me. And I still want to talk about those strange story. But this one I had tucked away. And I was looking at my notes. And I'm like, why have I not discussed this? Kyle, if I ask you, If you know who Red Sovine is, do you know who he is?
Red Sovine.
Yeah.
He sounds like an author or a poet or singer or something.
He was an old singer, and he used to sing the song, or he sang the song. You don't remember the song Teddy Bear, do you?
Oh, the truck driving song.
Do you remember the song Phantom 309?
I think so. I think we might have talked about it before.
Okay, about the trucker and how he was a spirit and they didn't know it, old Big Joe and all this
stuff. Yeah, I think you brought it
Phantom up. Phantom 309 was written back in, or was released in 1967, okay?
Uh-huh.
And this, okay, you got to imagine in 67. You remember in the 70s was whenever we had like C.W. McCall, all those. We got a great big convoy, you know, all of that crazy stuff, right? And all of this 18-wheeler music.
That was back when you were a little boy, you thought like being a truck driver was really cool.
Dude, that's, oh yeah.
Man, I mean, like, the thing like with that's the
CB,
really cool.
Yeah. And, but with the CB, with the whole thing, like it was, it's still like its own. We have a lot of truck drivers listen to the show.
Oh, yeah.
It's like their very own, they're almost like bikers.
But
they
I'm saying,
their own culture.
I don't think kids these days look up to that. But when I was a kid, I thought it was awesome.
Well, because it was Smokey and the Bandit.
Maybe.
And and what was it? Was it Any Which Way But Loose or? And then I know your favorite, Over the Top, was Sly Stallone, the arm wrestling movie.
Oh, with Ricky Schroeder?
Yeah. Is that who that's in
there? I'm pretty sure the kid's Ricky Schroeder.
No, I don't think it's him.
Is it not?
I don't think it's him, but I think he's in it. But anyway, so they start talking about this song. And you got a man like Dave Dudley. I believe Dave Dudley was another musician that covered some of this stuff. But anyhow, you go back into the Phantom 309. And I remember a lot of these songs. My brother-in-law, Double D, Diamond Dave, is the one who introduced me to this stuff, you know, back in the day. My dad listened to some of it, but Diamond took me way back deep, right, back on all this stuff. Basically, the story goes, folks, if you haven't listened to it, go listen to Phantom 309, all right? It's great. Red Sovine, Phantom 309, you'll dig it. But you got, look, it's a dated song. You know, hands down, it's very dated, but for the long and the short of it, there's a dude and he's hitchhiking. He talks about how he's freezing and all this stuff. And this truck picks him up. And this guy's name's Big Joe. And Big Joe gathers the guy up. And as they're driving, they're talking, you know, and he's talking about how he drives and all this. And he stops in front of the truck stop and he lets the guy out, the singer of the song, the narrator of the song. He lets him out and he gives him a dime. He flips him a dime and he says, go on in there and get you a cup of a coffee and tell him it's on old Big Joe, you know, that I'm going there and let you, you know, pay for your coffee. And he says, I got to go on up this ways a little bit. So he walks in, the song goes, he goes in, he orders him and he says, you know, Big Joe setting me up, you know, talking about how he paid for it. Everybody freaks out, you know, gets all quiet, gets all freaked out. He's like, did I say something wrong? And they're like, no. And he starts telling the story. And the story goes that Big Joe was killed when he lost control of his truck. Right. And he swerved because he swerved to miss a school bus full of kids. And the whole thing is it's one of the lines from the song is it could have been slaughter, but he turned the wheel. And I'll never forget that because my brother-in-law would always really put a real country emphasis on it when he sang it. So you get from there, you jump forward into a fella named John William Trudell. He went by Pete. All right. January 29th, 1963, he drove a tanker truck in the Chelsea River Bulk Petroleum Facility just north of Boston. And on this tanker truck was 4,600 gallons of gasoline. Okay.
Okay.
So he goes up there, he loads it up, turns around, and he's got to drive back to Keene, New Hampshire.
What's this guy's name?
This guy was named John William Trudell.
Okay.
He went by Pete. Pete Trudell was who this guy was, okay?
Uh-huh.
So he's got to go back near New Hampshire, which they say the way he was taking went along the Connecticut River, and it was just across from Vermont. So Trudell gets on Route 1, starts going north to Boston, goes, you know, he's working his way up through the Newbury Turnpike. There's an intersection on Route 129 and Route 1 in Sagas, and apparently, it's known to be a very rough area, okay? And maybe back in the day, maybe not so much now, but like back in the day, it was a little bit sketchy. So, story goes, he went under the bridge, and under the bridge, there's a blind spot because drivers would go down into a little dip.
Okay. Right?
As he went under the bridge, there's a little dip up there. What Pete didn't know is there was a car under the bridge that had stopped, and it was waiting there for a school bus so it could pick up, they could pick up their children off the school bus. He couldn't stop. All right. The school bus is there also. So the school bus is parked and the car's parked. So what's he going to do? Smash into the school bus? Smash into the car? No. He cuts it across, runs up in there, and smashes into the bridge
embankment.
Yeah, the embankment right there. Smashes up underneath it with that truckload of gasoline.
46,000 gallons.
4,600 gallons of gasoline. Well, the dude driving the car was named Robert Mayer. All right. Now, Robert Mayer was from Stamford, Connecticut. And that he tries, Mayer, of course, tries to get away. Okay.
Yeah.
Trudell does not. He can't. He's in the cab, stuck in the cab. Boom. It's on fire. The fellow driving the car tries to. He can't. Boom. Caught in the flames. The bus itself gets caught in the flames. But the six kids that were on the bus at the time and the bus driver get out.
Oh, thank God.
Yep. And 10 seconds after all this stuff, 10 seconds, then the bus burst into flames. They said that the fire underneath there was so hot that it's the steel girders in that overpass buckled from the heat burning so close to. You got to imagine an 18-wheeler, a bus, and a car.
Right. Yeah.
So you've got all of that material burning combined with all that fuel. All right. So you jump forward. There's a little thing written here, and there's actually a deal. I believe it was in 2014. It says that the residents there in a town called Troy, New Hampshire, put a monument honoring Pete up there. And there is a monument that says, "Greater love hath no man than this, to lay down one's life for his fellow man." It says Troy's hero. This monument stands to honor the heroic actions taken by John William Pete Trudell on January 29th of 1963, when he, in a split-second decision, sacrificed his life to avoid a school bus. The truest character of a man is shown in his deeds. In one single, selfless act, you showed us what all who knew you had always known, that underneath your welcoming smile, kind to nature, and steadfast dedication to family, was a courageous and honorable man. We will always miss you, and we will be forever proud of you. So, they are believing that is the story that spawned the idea behind, no ghost story, but that's what spawned the idea behind the story of the Phantom 309.
I gotcha.
Was a man that does that. It is also believed to be the idea that spawned the story to Large Marge. Now, do you remember who Large Marge
is? Yes, Large Marge is in Pee-wee's play. No, not Pee-wee's the movie.
Big Adventure, the movie. I believe it was Big Adventure.
Right, bug out and stuff.
And that's the whole thing. So the song was legitly based on a man that swerved to save children and gave his life because he couldn't shut it down, so that was the only thing that he could do. So that old song actually has some validity to it. On that whole deal.
Now, if you go near that overpass today, are there still sightings of old Pete?
I don't know. It doesn't say, but I would like to believe that there is.
Yeah, that would be. Yeah, that would be really.
That would be
cool.
Awesome. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we wrap this up, and I got something else I want to share with you that's in the news. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives.
Luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
All righty. We are back. For those of you that follow me on Instagram, you might have seen a while back I had posted I had found a poached. I can't say poached. All I can say is a wasted whitetail. I'm guessing it was probably poached.
Right. Somebody cut the back straps out of it and left it.
Just cut the horns off and the back straps
like poached
out
eggs?
And left it there. Yeah, they're okay. I don't mind them.
I haven't had any of those in a long time.
I'm not a fan of runny eggs, but I have had one of those. It's one of those, look, I can deal with it, but I would rather have my eggs boiled, which, uh-huh. You know, boiled, they call that boneless chicken. You know that's what that is, right?
No, I didn't know.
A boiled egg. You never ever seen that?
I think I like...
Big butts, you cannot lie.
That's no doubt. I like eggs almost pretty much every way.
Yeah, I'm pretty much the same way. Yeah, you've never seen that? Like, okay, this is going to really be bad. There's a place down here in Texas. I don't know if there's any other places that happen, but down here we have these convenience stores called Allsup's, and they used to be all out in West Texas. And it was the first convenience store I remember going to as a kid. And they used to make those really
monster burritos.
Yeah, we used to call them dog turd burritos because they were a little rough, and then you could have like barbecue sandwiches, and it was like in a little hot box. You know, it wasn't good for, but it tasted amazing. And they had, that's the first place I ever saw, is they would have pickled eggs up on the like on the shelf. Because what they did is they would serve pickles. Because see, that's a thing here in Texas. We have pickles everywhere you go. Football game, baseball game, the movies.
I love pickles.
Doesn't matter where it's at, you can always buy a pickle. So they would have the jar of pickle juice, you know, pickle free. It's just the juice. And they would boil their own eggs and put them in there. And then they would also have them like in sandwich baggies, like boil two eggs and peel them for you and put them in little sandwich baggies and seal them, and you could buy them.
Golly,
and
I always remember.
Oh, yeah. And I always remember they would say, like, you can buy boneless chicken here. And it would be eggs sitting there. I remember as a kid, I thought that was the greatest thing in the world. But yeah, pickled eggs, pickled quail eggs, you can buy them down here. Like
I've had them, yeah.
Yeah, they're good.
They actually are pretty good.
Well, because they're small, you can pop them in there. You don't really overdo it. They're like almonds.
When it comes to eggs, though, there's no way I could do that balut.
No, I'm not, because it's not an egg. That's just
it's like a
uncooked duck.
It's like a month old. I mean, I don't. Yeah. Oh,
I'm
man.
Out.
No.
I'm out.
No.
I've eaten guinea eggs and duck eggs and an emu egg and ostrich egg.
I don't like duck at
they're
all.
They're strong. They're very strong. Same as guinea. And a guinea egg is tough.
Really?
Yeah, you got to whoop the hell out of it to crack open a guinea egg.
Man.
How country do I sound to all these people listening right now?
Yeah, pretty bad.
Well, boy, I like chitlins and possums. I haven't ever eaten a possum, folks. I've eaten rabbit and squirrel.
You do, man. There's any new listeners out there, they're like, who are these
who
guys?
Who let this redneck piece of crap on the radio? Okay, this is what I wanted to share with y'all because... Look, some people got their feelings hurt when I made a joke about like some twins one time and all this stuff. So look, yeah, I'm not even going to get into that, but I'm going to make a joke about this. Folks, on BBCnews.com, the BBC.com, back last week in South Africa, there was a poacher was killed by an elephant and then eaten by lions.
Yeah.
A suspected rhino poacher was trampled on by elephant. It says, listen to this, accomplice poachers. So they caught some, and the other feller, not so good. He told, this right here, accomplice poachers told the victim's family that he'd been killed by an elephant on Tuesday, and the relatives called the park rangers. It says a search party struggled to find the body, but eventually found a human skull and a pair of trousers on Thursday, and I'm sure a large pile of scat. But the managing executive of the park extended his condolences to the family and says this, entering Kruger National Park illegally and on foot is not wise. It holds many dangers, and this incident is evidence of that. And Kruger National Park has an ongoing problem with poaching, and there remains a strong demand for rhino horn in Asian countries. And it says, get a load of this. On Saturday, Hong Kong Airport Authority sees the biggest haul of rhino horn in 5 years, valued at 1.6 million euro or 2.1 million American dollars.
That's why it keeps going, though.
Look, first of all,
as long as it's going to be valuable, there's going to be people that are going to try to get it.
My whole thing, it doesn't do a thing.
It doesn't.
It's just hair. Leave them alone.
Keratin or whatever. It's a culture,
though. It's a toenail.
I mean, you think if you get a powdered rhino horn, that's going to be like Boss Rhino. It's going to be some... extends
what
or whatever.
Talking about?
You know what I'm talking about.
I have
about.
No idea what you're talking about. Just because you need help in that department doesn't mean I do. So, I know a man lost his life, but hey, he's a poacher.
He's a poacher.
But look, and I also understand that's how these people, they don't get much money for it. Okay?
That's what the I'm saying. You've got nothing. You make $37 a year.
Yeah. And they're doing whatever they can.
There's a cow in the back pasture. If you shoot that and send it to Beijing, you'll get $2 million. Of course you're going to do it.
Well, they don't even get that. They actually get hired by a guy, barely pays them
$100. But you know what I'm saying.
Exactly, yeah.
And just like that, they've grown up with rhinos their whole life. They don't care to them. To them, it's just a natural animal.
Yeah.
They could care less.
There.
And they may even know that they're endangered. They may even know that they're dying. But if you're starving.
I don't think they know. Who knows? I don't think there is. It's just one of those deals. You're a poacher, you're a poacher. You know what I mean? Like, that's the job they take on.
But I'll tell you right now, if my children and my wife are starving and they tell me Hazel Cat's the last of her kind, I would still kill Hazel Cat and serve her for dinner if everybody's starving.
You'd have to.
I just don't care.
Yeah, you'd have to do
so. I think that these people are in a lot of those people are in that kind of position.
But here's another thing, too. I'm not sure, and I don't want to speak out of school, but wasn't it around the Kruger National Park where that dentist shot Cecil the Lion, was right outside of that park?
Didn't
they lure him out of there? Now, look, it was a up and up, but it was a little shady of the whole thing. But lions are way different than rhinos, you know, in this whole thing. But still, that just tells you. You mess around over there.
Oh, yeah.
What, you can't take these kind of chances.
You
if
see
nothing
this?
Else, you're like, dude, first of all, go online if you haven't. You want to pull up some stuff. Watch elephants kick everything's ass. You watch there's a video of a 2,000-pound Cape buffalo, which is probably the meanest bovine on the planet. And it's messing around with the herd. And this big bull elephant comes out of nowhere, runs it through with its tusk. After knocks it down, spears it to the ground, then picks it up and just throws it like you would just throw a kitten off of you, like it's nothing. You realize, like, no, the lion's not the king of the jungle. The lion is the bouncer, maybe, of the jungle. The king is the elephant.
Oh, yeah. I mean, lions have real problems with hyenas.
Uh-huh. Elephants don't have real problems with anything but us, pretty much.
The elephants will walk right through a pack of lions and hyenas. Everything moves out of the way. Because they're like, they're not going to do anything.
Well, you know what they say with that stuff is between the elephant's toes is like slow-moving lions.
Yeah, exactly. Speaking of animals, there's a new series on National Geographic called Hostile Planet. And I accidentally caught one of those episodes the other morning. Our baseball game got rained out, our tournament, I mean, and I was up in the morning doing nothing, drinking coffee, and I caught an episode. Now, each episode, they're not even done airing, is on, like, one's on mountains, and one's on plains, and one's on the ocean.
It's on the Nat Geo?
Nat Geo channel. And it's, if you have access to see this, I suggest you check it out. The one on mountains is the one I caught. And about three quarters of the way through it, they're showing this snow leopard. And it's up in the mountains, like in Pakistan. I don't know exactly where.
I got you.
And it's stalking these Eurasian goats, these ibex, or whatever they are. Well, you can see it on film, and this thing's crouching. Well, it jumps and jacks this goat. The problem is when it does,
it
falls 200, 300 feet, just bouncing down the rocks. The cat never lets go. And when they get to the bottom, cat looks like it's fine. The goat's dead. It eats it. I mean, I'm like, for sure, when I saw it, I'm like, oh, that cat just committed suicide. Nope.
Nope. This is just an average Tuesday for him.
We're made of tissue paper. Like, Mother Nature is way stronger than us.
Like, we're such a weak bitch. You just realize
terribly weak.
Oh, my goodness.
And I don't care if you're, like, an awesome CrossFitter. You have nothing Mother Nature.
No, you can't stop that.
I think you could wrestle, like, you know, like, what was the guy that killed that cougar? It turns out, I think that cougar was kind of
little
and sick and not a real cougar.
Well, I mean, it was a real cougar. But, it just wasn't squared away. We're not talking about a big one.
You could whip a 85-pound, 90-year-old man's ass. Doesn't mean you're really that tough. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and he may have been a retired Navy SEAL and a badass.
Well, yeah, in 1930. Yeah.
Exactly. If he's that old, you just whooped his. There's always, like, you might, and I don't say this to be disrespectful to you or to the person I'm going to mention, you might be able to kick Muhammad Ali's ass now, but I'm not sure. I would still might bet on him.
Oh, I would. Yeah, for sure.
But he's been dead, 3 years, 4 years? I still might bet on him.
If you like that kind of stuff with animals and stuff, check out Hostile Planet. And
there's another one on Netflix, too, that just came out.
Oh, yeah. That's like, what is it called?
Is it Our Planet?
Our Planet, I think.
It's pretty cool. I watched the first one of those. It's pretty good.
I like the, there was another one that came out a couple years ago that was similar to that. Just Earth, Planet Earth. I don't remember what it was called, but it profiled.
I have to watch them all when they come on.
The way they're filmed. I like the narration. Now, this new one is narrated by Bear Grylls. I'm not a huge Bear Grylls fan, but he's good at narration.
Attenborough or something?
No.
Isn't that the guy? That's who did this other one.
He's my favorite narrator. Yeah. Him and Morgan Freeman are my favorite narrator.
Morgan Freeman, hands down. And, yeah, I'm a huge, huge fan.
The new Lion King's coming out. I'm excited about that.
Yeah, I'll check that out.
What are the new Godzilla's coming out? Luke's pumped about that.
I still haven't gone to see Captain Marvel. I've dropped the ball on all that Marvel
stuff. The
Brood
went and saw that, and what did they see? Oh, they saw Dumbo last week. They said that
my
was
daughter
really good.
Went and saw that also.
I can't watch
some
Dumbo.
Of her friends. It,
Dumbo affected me when I was a little kid. That and E.T. was like the saddest movies I ever saw.
You don't
want to
cry in front of your kids?
No, so I'm like, I ain't going to go see that. No,
that's me.
They said, oh, it was really good but sad. I'm like, yeah, I know what it's about.
Well, and Tim Burton made it.
Yeah.
And so it's going to be a little, probably a little darker than normal and a little more sad, and I don't need that. I don't want to cry. Look, I don't want to break down in the... I don't cry like that, and I'm afraid that might get to me, so I'm just leaving it. I'm just going to leave it on. I'm not even going to check it out.
I don't cry when it's called for. That's the oddest thing with me. Like, if you're at a funeral or something like that, I won't find myself emotional then, but I can be just, like, by myself, and just something clicks, or I hear a song or something, and then I'll be like, emotional. I'll be like, I don't know why.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. The last time I cried was...
I mean, I cried today when I messed up that turkey stalk.
Yeah. The last time I actually cried...
when you missed those pigs.
Probably, yeah, right. I should have. What is this? I've been there for 14 years ago.
Oh, geez. No.
Probably 14 years ago because I had one of the guys that I work with, maybe 13 years ago, one of the guys I used to work with got killed, and he was a real good friend of mine, and he'd got killed one night, and that was probably the last time I was pretty emotional about it. But I don't know. It's not that I don't. I don't know.
It depends on what it is, certain things. Sometimes it's something you see somebody achieve something really magnificent and you'll kind of, I mean, I'm not
that gets
to balling,
me, yeah.
but I'm saying you kind of get
emotional.
I had a friend of mine whose child was very sick and was like at Cook's Children's Hospital. And we went up there to visit for a time. And it's just room after room of kids.
Yeah.
I had to get out of there. I was like, dude, no offense. I can't be in here.
It doesn't make me cry, but it makes me where I get panicky. I don't know if that's anxiety. I don't know what it is, but I'm just like, I can't be around all this.
I can't be in here. And hats off to those people that can do that day after day. People that are hospice caretakers. Well, my hats off to them.
And I've told everybody on this whole podcast multiple times is I'm not an outgoing, like, big time go out with public and hang out with everybody person. Like, that's not what I like to do.
That's the best part about the podcast is we get to talk to thousands of people, but really it's just me and you in a room.
Exactly. And that's the best thing for me is, like, I don't do well in crowds more than about 15 people. And outside of that, I mean, like, that's legitly it. Like, I'm not that guy. I'm the old man that lives up in the mountains type thing. And I really don't like to be around a lot of people. And I guess that's some sort of social anxiety. I've had it ever since I was a kid, but I know where it comes from. And this whole deal. But yeah, it's one of those just an inadequate feeling. So I just don't go around everybody.
Right. I've got a baseball tournament again this weekend, although we have an 80% chance of rain. So that'll probably be rained out again.
You're not getting there.
So, but I'm enjoying the weather right now. Spring is almost over here in Texas. If you have any stories of your own you'd like to share with me and Cam, don't forget you can email the show expandedperspectives@yahoo.com. You can call the show 817-945-3828. Also, don't forget about Expanded Perspectives Elite. If you like the show, you're only listening to 50% of it. We have a paid-for service. If you go to the website, expandedperspectives.com, click on the Elite tab. For $5 a month, you'll get access to every Elite show we've ever done over the last 3.5 years, as well as additional shows every month. For you already Elite members, you've been noticing some problems. We've been noticing problems, too. We got to get some IT folks on the system that runs that.
Having the best of luck right now.
Man, certain people can get episodes. There'll be other people that aren't getting them. I don't know what's going on. Yeah. And I'm not smart enough to figure it out, but we are trying to work on that. So bear with us. Anybody else? If you want to follow us on social media, you can follow us on all forms of social media.
Yeah, you'll see it. If you have any crazy stories about flat black stick men, send them in.
There you go.
If you have any stories about the animal that got away, like you almost got one and you turned the corner and there was a turkey 3 foot from you, send it in. That's always good for a few laughs. Just reach out the whole deal. Like I said, but yeah, we're trying. We're trying to get the whole Elite thing worked out. It's frustrating right now, and I'm not enjoying it. I've been going back and forth with a friend of ours, so we'll see what happens.
It's always that way. Don't forget about our sponsor, Ethos. Just visit ethoslife.com and get started by clicking Check My Price. They will help you through the online application. It only takes about 10 minutes. For everybody out there, please have a good week. Till next time, I'm Kyle Filson. He's Cam Hale.
Peace, y'all.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.